I'm still not done with your quiz 9 and quiz 10. I'm sorry. They'll be done this
Speak week. Louder.
Could I get your section? I'm still not done with your quiz 9 and quiz 10. They'll be done this weekend. Very important. A week from today, I'll be over there, get in class, with a deadline to come see me about any problems with quiz 1 and 8. So I'll be over there next Friday, a week from today, I'll get in class. So check your grades. Come see me if you have any problems. Quiz 9 through 10, we'll probably give you like 2 weeks because I'm not done with them yet. But definitely quiz 1 through 8, check those, make sure they're accurate. And
I'll just throw it over here.
We'll work it out. If you send me an email and you need to see me today, just see me at the end of class. I'll be over there. No problem. Okay?
Okay, now that's a general thing. We'd like you to check all of your grades, labs 1 through 8, homework 1 through 8, quizzes 1 through 8, and make sure that they're all accurate by the end of next week. Because we don't want people coming in during finals week and saying there's something wrong with their grades from the first part of the semester. So check them for accuracy, and we'll work with you to make sure they're accurately recorded in Blackboard. But we are a little concerned because we've actually had documented cases where grades in Blackboard have changed after we've entered them. They seem to disappear. So I think that there's a little software bug with Blackboard. But watch your grades, because those are the ones that we're going to be using for the final grade computation. Notice that our final is on the last day of finals, unfortunately. So we have to do grades in like 2 days to turn them in. So we're not going to have time to deal with them then. Yes, Ray, you will be grading in a frenzy. I had nothing to do with it. That's done by deans. Okay. Now, more stuff about filters. And we should be able to wrap up filters and Bode plots and stuff more than likely on Monday. I want to go back and just look at example 12.3. And in general, you can be sure that you've got a problem like this next Friday and on the final. And basically, all I'm going to do in the next couple examples is show you how to plot the frequency response. With op amps, it all comes down to the same technique. And that technique is you're almost always going to see one of the terminals at ground. These will be ideal op amps, so the other terminal will also be at ground. And if that is true, then you want to calculate the currents at the inverting node, and that will give you an equation that what you do is you relate the output voltage to the input voltage. Now, in principle, yes, we can do output current to input current, but probably in 95%, if not more, of all applications, it's voltage out and voltage in are the parameters that we're going to be dealing with. If this is V1 of J omega, V2 of J omega, and I'll do this one fast. This one we actually did the last time, and we were at the point where we had V2 over J omega, V1 over J omega equaled minus R2 over R1. That's slightly rearranged from the way I left it the last time. I didn't put the R1 up in the numerator like that. And the 1 plus J omega R2C. And the only reason I'm putting it like that is, what would be the gain of this circuit? That is, what would be the output voltage over the input voltage if I didn't have the capacitor there? If I just eliminated the capacitor, it would be the minus R2 over R1. That's what we had from back when we studied DC op amps. What's different here is that we have that term in the denominator. Now, we can call this expression, our T of J omega, the subscript V, which you have seen me use occasionally, simply means that it's voltage. It's a voltage ratio. It can be called the gain. It can be called the transfer function. Different problems and at different places in the book, it's called different things, but it's all the same equation. Now, what we want to do is we want to plot this as a function of frequency. The vertical axis is always decibels. That means that we have to do 20 log base 10 of the expression. So 20 log base 10 of TV of J omega, the gain, and we take the magnitude, and that would be 20 log base 10 minus R2 over R1 minus 20 log base 10 of 1 plus J omega R2C. Now, the first term, remember, we're taking a magnitude. So what that always means is that if there's a simple J in the numerator, if there's a minus sign in the numerator, when we take the magnitude, all of that goes away. So the first term would just give us 20 log 10 of R2 over R1. Okay. And that's just going to be a number depending upon what the resistor values as given are. The second term is the one that's going to give us our frequency dependence. The majority of it, because it's the only term with a omega in it. Now, occasionally, you might write the J omega R2C term with an F. You know, it'd be a 2 pi F. It only changes the horizontal axis, but it doesn't change the shape of the curve. Now, what would this look like if we plotted it? Omega on the horizontal, and I'll just call the vertical axis gain. That actually means this term right there. Okay? Well, I usually start with low frequencies. That is, I start at the left-hand side of the graph and go to the right. So I go from low frequencies to high frequencies. In this case, if I'm starting with low frequencies, that means that omega is going to be very small, or even zero. The key thing is that term, J omega R2C, small compared to 1, the log of 1 is 0, so for very low frequencies, I'm effectively ignoring that whole term. The only contribution to the plot, then, comes from the first term, and it's just a constant. So whatever it is, and it's some positive number, there's my term, and that will be at 20 log 10 R2 over R1. Now, what happens is we watch that 1 plus J omega R2C term. We increase omega. We're moving from left to right on the plot. As omega gets bigger, there's going to come a point at which omega R2C is equal to 1. That is always the so-called breakpoint, corner frequency, or whatever you call it. When it's 1 plus J, that's omega C. Always. As I said, it can be called different things. Breakpoint, 3 dB frequency, corner frequency, whatever. Cutoff frequency, they all mean the same thing. It's 1 plus J. Because at that point, the real and the imaginary parts are equal. And all this is telling you is this is where I make the transition from basically the log of 1, which we've been ignoring, to the log of J omega R2C. You see, we take one term or the other. We never take both of them at once. So what we're really looking at is going to be 20 log 10, the magnitude of the second term, and that's just omega R2C. So that's what we want to plot. Now, the point at which the transition occurs is omega C. Omega C is defined by when omega R2C is equal to 1. So omega C is equal to 1 over R2C. Okay? Now, all that we have left is, as I increase omega here, above that cutoff frequency, that corner frequency, what does the plot of this term look like? Well, what our book calls all of these is they're straight lines. First part was a straight line. It was horizontal. That one was real easy to deal with. We did this also in last lecture, because what I did was I increased omega by a factor of 10. Because we're working with logarithms, okay, that just scales it. And what happens is that we always have this increasing or decreasing, but it will change by 20 dB per decade. Okay, we did that the last time, and I'm going to very deliberately not give you, well, actually, I take that back. If you take a look at lab 12, I actually give you something that doesn't change at 20 dB per. But you can be pretty doggone assured that on your final, on your quiz, and I think on all of your homework, you don't have anything that doesn't change at 20 dB per decade. Okay, it turns out, and I will remind you, there's a couple people were asking about the derivation of the bandpass filter. If you take a look at the website, the complete derivation is posted in the lab section of the webpage. There's also a corresponding derivation for a second order filter. The complete derivation, now that's for lab 12, is also posted in the lab section of the webpage. Looks just like my lecture notes. Completely explains, using this notation, how to derive those two filters. So I just thought I'd point that out. But for almost anything you're going to do, you can count on 20 dB per decade. Now, how do you know if it's positive or negative? The sign comes from whether it's in the numerator or the denominator. This is in the denominator. When I take the logarithm, I'm subtracting to represent division. So that means that this is going to start right there and go down. And it will go down minus 20 dB per decade. And what that means is at 10 omega C, that would be one decade, this difference right here is 20 dB. That is, it's come down 20 dB. So that's all it means. Okay? Emphasis here is upon learning how to do plots. Now, for the complicated ones, you're just going to use a computer. Now, not everything is a low-pass filter. What I've shown in my passive examples and my active examples, passive means there's no op amp, there's no amplifier. Active means there is an amplifier. In almost all cases, an op amp. They have been low-pass filters. Just, in fact, like we saw right here, where the low frequencies go through at some constant rate, and then as the frequency increases, basically less and less of it gets through the circuit. In this case, it's an amplifier. So low frequencies get amplified, high frequencies get attenuated or reduced gain. Okay? Not everything is that way. And here's a first example. Okay? This will be example 12.5. Okay? And I'll tell you right now that it's going to be an example of a high-pass filter. It's going to be virtually the opposite of what we've been doing. And just as always, I'm concerned with voltage. All of the simple circuits, and by that, usually most of the passive circuits, are simple voltage dividers, but not always. Like the first problem in your homework isn't a simple voltage divider. What I did was I put a second resistor across the capacitor. It makes the circuit slightly more complicated, but in this one, we'll compute TB of J omega, that's the gain, it's V2 of J omega, divided by V1 of J omega. And we can pretty much figure that out. This is a voltage divider. It'll be given by R over R plus 1 over J omega C. Does everyone see how I quickly wrote that down? I'm simply doing a voltage divider. V2 would be equal to R divided by the sum of the resistances. You notice that I treat the capacitor as a resistance because it's an impedance. So it would be the R over R plus 1 over J omega C. That's the voltage divider times V1 of J omega. So all I did was move the V1 to the other side. This part you should be able to do easily. And if I recall right, I think this exact problem was on last year's final. Now, what we want to do is we want to plot this. And it's going to look a little bit different. And it's got some new problems because we're going to do 20 log 10, just as before, TV of J omega magnitude. And we'll pick up, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's rationalize this a little bit. I don't like terms of the form 1 over J omega C in the denominator. So let's multiply top and bottom by J omega C. And that will give me J omega RC. And I'll always put the 1 first. So I'm going to flip these terms around. 1 plus J omega RC. Everyone see what I did there? It's just a little juggling of the algebra. Okay. I just flipped the two terms in the denominator around, and I multiplied numerator and denominator by J omega C. And remember, the reason is that I said last time, when you plot the denominator, you always want your first term to be 1. The reason is partly the way we define the cutoff frequency. Remember, it's at 1 plus J. If your term is something other than 1, that definition makes no sense. So always arrange your denominator so that it starts with a 1. Now, what happens to these terms? 20 log 10 J omega RC magnitude minus 20 log 10 magnitude of 1 plus j omega rc. Now, the j's, when you take the magnitude, go away. We have a 20 log 10, and it's really of omega rc. And then the second term is minus 20 log 10, and we'll keep the magnitude symbol on that for a moment. How do you plot that? You see, previously, our first term was a constant. That was easy to plot. This is actually a term that's a function of frequency. And if you think about it, it looks exactly like the term that we've been plotting in the denominator for the low-pass filter, except that always had a minus 20 in front of it. Notice that this term has a plus 20 in front of it. So what that means is the following. If I plot this, I'm going to have something that's actually increasing. Whoops. And that's going up at plus 20 dB per decade. Because if I made it 10, it'd simply go up. That is, if I made it 10 omega RC, moved over by 10, that would be up 20 dB vertically. So the slopes are always plus or minus 20 dB. Now the problem is, where is there a point on this at which I can plot it? What is my vertical scale? Okay. Well, why don't we pick omega RC equals 1? Okay. If omega RC equals 1, what's the value of the first term? Well, no. If omega RC equals 1, what's just the log of 1? 0. So you actually have a reference point vertically there at, and I really shouldn't have drawn that there, at omega equals 1 over RC. That's at omega RC equals 1. Okay. At that point, and this is just the first term, that's 0 dB. So this is the key thing to learn about plotting the first term. Okay, it's going up at 20 dB per decade, but we also have an absolute vertical positioning for it that when omega RC equals 1, that is omega equals 1 over RC, I've got 0 dB right there. So I know where it is. Now notice, here's where we switch to the second term. The second term, for any frequency below this omega equals 1 over RC, the second term is just the log of 1. The log of 1 is what? 0. So the first term, as I increase frequency from whatever up to omega equals 1 over RC, it just keeps going up from the first term, and the second term contributes a 0. As soon as I reach this point, what happens is we switch to the second term, and notice that makes the first term and the second term look identical. One's going up at 20 dB per decade, the other one's coming down at 20 dB per decade. So what you can do on this drawing is recognize the one term is going up, the second term now, that's this term, is now going down. The amount going up exactly equals the amount going down, and what happens? It becomes a straight line. a horizontal line. It doesn't change. You see, this is now a high-pass filter. Gesundheit. All of the low frequencies get attenuated or not amplified. All of the high frequencies get emphasized, get amplified. So this is called a high-pass filter. I think that these are harder for you to conceptually plot than the low-pass. And we put a mix of them in the homework assignment. So you've got some high pass, you've got some low pass. One of the big things is to figure out which is which. Yes? Why is it taken into account before? Because before omega equals RC, what's going on? Before omega equals RC, the second term is 20 log 10 of 1. Remember, if omega is less than RC, then the second number in that expression is less than 1. We take the limit much less than 1. So we're saying the J omega RC term over here is negligible compared to the 1. This is the fundamental concept of plotting these. You may have to think about that. But the idea is on one side we just use the 1. On the other side we just use the J omega RC. When you use the 1, the log of 1 is 0. And that's where it doesn't contribute anything. You know, 0 added to the first term is 0. Okay, let me think if there's something else I want to say about this. I guess there is one tiny thing. I really should have labeled that omega C right there. It's the cutoff frequency. I think I've been saying that the whole way along, but this is the cutoff frequency. And you've got a couple of these in the homework assignment. We will do more of these on Monday. And that should wrap up filters. Plus, you'll build op-amp filters in the lab next week. And it will be your last lab of the semester.